It is a pleasure to introduce our next instructor based in Madison, Wisconsin. Nathaniel Leach serves as Portfolio Manager of LBW Wealth Management. Nathaniel grew up in Western Wisconsin and has been investing in the stock market since high school. In 2003, he attended Kalamazoo College and graduated with a BA in history. His degree encouraged him to conduct diligent research in a disciplined and efficient manner of any concept. In 2008, he enlisted in the U.S. Marine Corps. After completing active duty in 2012 with honorable character, he entered the RIA industry as a securities analyst at a local wealth management firm. He spearheaded multiple initiatives in operations, compliance, and trading as he steadily educated himself further as a value investor. Those of you in the community may recall Nathaniel's past ideas and wisdom, and I very much enjoyed meeting Nathaniel in Zurich as well. On behalf of the MY Global membership community, a very warm welcome to you, Nathaniel. Please go ahead.
Thank you, John, for that kind introduction. So my name is Nathaniel. As John said, I am a part of an independent RIA based out of Madison, Wisconsin, and I am the portfolio manager and conduct all of our in-house research services. Here are some disclosures. Please read them at your leisure. A little bit about myself. So before I begin my presentation on Liberty Sirius XM Group, I wanted to revisit my thesis on Liberty Ventures that I did at this same time last year. It's now known as GCI Liberty. I presented it at MOI's Best Ideas. In my opinion, I think that it is still cheap, if not cheaper. Just as a reminder, GCI Liberty is based on what was known as General Communications, which is a quad play cable company that covers most of Alaska, as well as Charter, be it either via shares, Charter shares that are owned by GCI Liberty, as well as Liberty Broadband Class C shares owned by GCI Liberty. In total, they own 7% of Charter on a see-through basis. It has decreased approximately 30% since last year this time due to the general market downturn, as well as the markets, the novelty wearing off due to multiple bid speculation from Verizon, Sprint and other suitors. I think that it is an even better idea today, and I think that it warrants a very hefty position in one's portfolio. In fact, it's one of our biggest positions between not only GCI Liberty as well as Liberty Broadband combined is one of our biggest positions today. So moving on, today we're going to be speaking about Liberty Sirius XM Group. It's a Liberty Media Corporation tracker stock. So why are we looking at this? This is a play on Sirius XM, Pandora, and then perhaps a little bit on iHeartMedia. This is a sum of the parts play. What we're looking at today is what I term the collective economics of Liberty Sirius, which is its focus on companies with predictable revenue streams and cash flows, relatively low capex maintenance requirements, high fixed costs, low variable costs, and a focus on live. And by live, that is what Liberty Management terms as what they use to term for companies that deal in the live entertainment business. So we're going to go over a few of these things here today, as well as right now, with regards to Liberty Sirius XM Group. We have Dr. John Malone, famous for creating wonderful returns at Telecommunications Inc., as well as through all the Liberty Company entities. His chief lieutenant in U.S.-based Liberty companies, Greg Maffei, You have Liberty Media Corporation, and then you have the subsequent trackers today, which are comprised of Liberty Sirius, Liberty Braves, and Formula One Group. I did my presentation actually on wide moats in 2018 on Formula One, if you care to learn more about it. The business segments within Liberty Sirius consist of SiriusXM, Pandora, iHeartMedia, small piece there for the iHeart, which it comprises of debt that Liberty Sirius owns of iHeartMedia. Pandora is as a result of the merger that is hopefully going to be achieved in 2019 that was announced late in 2018. Right now, SiriusXM owns directly $480 million worth of preferred stocks, which should in theory convert to approximately 19% of Pandora if it was to be converted, but as a part of the merger deal, that is no longer a part of the deal. Attributes for Liberty Sirius XM, you have the Liberty Playbook, which is the investing in companies that are free cash flow generators, and then in turn using that free cash flow to attain leverage, and then utilize that leverage and high free cash flow to then buy back stock, drive shareholder returns. You have financial engineering, engineering experience. And by that I mean, notwithstanding the fact that John Malone is an engineer by trade, but I mean also the structuring of these financial deals that are very complex, with entities within entities. They have decades of experience in this, and they have wielded it to achieve those shareholder returns that we all love so well. Excellent management, capital allocation skill sets. The opportunities within Liberty Sirius XM in particular is the realization of value, which I will go through in depth later on. Some of the risks that are pertinent to Liberty Sirius itself, we'll get more into SiriusXM Pandora a little bit more later on. John Malone dies, there's no succession plan in place, although from what I've read, John Malone has stated specifically that with most of his management, he has deals with them that they will buy his voting shares in the event of his death or disability. With regards to SiriusXM, Sirius Satellite Radio was started in 1990. XM was 2 years later, and then it was spun out of its umbrella company in 1999. The Sirius and XM merger occurred in 2007, closed in 2008. The way that Liberty Media Corporation got involved and its predecessor company, it came into the picture in February 2009, where it came in a week before SiriusXM was required to pay a debt payment, and they didn't have the cash to do so. So Greg Maffei came in and basically held their feet to the fire, supposedly, and came up with a deal whereby they lent $580 million and in return received convertible preferred stock that allowed Liberty to attain 40% ownership of SiriusXM. And as a result, today, they now have about 72.7% ownership. And after the merger with Pandora, should it go through, they'll have approximately 66.5%. Later on in some of the charts in this presentation, you'll see that I've used 71.2% ownership. That's to be on the conservative side because that's from Q3 2018 10Q. The 72.7% is actually from a filing on December 20th, where it specifically stated that Liberty Sirius had a 72.7% ownership. I'm just erring on the side of conservatism in my calculations as a result. Jim Meyer, he was hired in 2004 to Sirius XM as their president of operations and sales. He became CEO in 2012. He's done a fantastic job delivering shareholder return. Couldn't do a better job. There is some issues with incentives and his employment agreement. He doesn't like to make employment agreements for long periods of time. He typically does it, rolls it over year. He likes to maintain that flexibility. So there is some disadvantage that might come into play with that to Liberty Sirius shareholders. There's also an issue with some his incentives in stock. He owns, on a see-through basis, if all options were exercised, he owns $134 million in stock. And as of today, in reality, he only truly owns approximately, I think it's $50 million plus in outright stock that he owns, which is not... It's 2.8 million shares versus 23.5 million shares outright. Do the math on that. It comes out to more like a little bit less than $20 million that he owns outright. Moving on to the next slide. These are the business segments of Sirius. So Sirius comprises subscription-based services, advertising, and other revenues. So the subscription is all of those categories right there that includes music, sports, entertainment, a lot of proprietary content that they're able to deliver to their users. Advertising, they do so on select non-music channels. Other revenues, this is quite an interesting segment actually, because SiriusXM has such a wonderful business model where they are able to pass on the royalty fees that they have to pay to the CRB, that they can charge their customers that royalty rate that they have to pay as a percentage of their revenues to the CRB. And that really speaks to the pricing power of SiriusXM. So that comprises that other revenue piece. In addition, the connected vehicle services, one could liken that to General Motors OnStar service. It can be a potentially huge cash cow in the future, but as of today, it is relatively small relative to SiriusXM's subscription-based business. They also own a 70% economic interest, 33% voting interest in SiriusXM Canada. They receive fees under a services agreement from SXM Canada that they consolidate into their own income statement. And then they have their ancillary revenues, which include their weather, traffic, and data services. And as of the end of the third quarter in 2018, approximately 8.4 million vehicles have access to their traffic data services. Some metrics to pay attention to are listed here. We're going to go in more depth with some of these in the next slide. This is said chart. Some of these items that you want to pay attention to are self-pay subscribers. You want to generally see that increasing over time. It doesn't have to grow astronomically, but a steady increase or staying stationary is good. That's what you want to see. Daily weighted average number of subscribers, same thing. You want to see that gradually growing over time. I should go back and say that those self-pay subscribers are important because you have to differentiate between the self-pay and the paid promotional subscribers, because the paid promotional subscribers are the ones who are basically not having to pay anything, whereas the self-pay are. So the self-pay is the number that you want to see increasing over time. Paid promotional is good to see increasing as well, because that means that a bigger number, that means that there's a bigger penetration for seeing SiriusXM's radios in new cars as every year. That's what that's representing. self-pay churn, you want to see it, you want it lower the better. You want to see it gradually decreasing or staying static with time. New vehicle consumer conversion rate, it's 39% is decent. Obviously, it's fallen in the past decade, but it is not critical at that rate that it's losing money or anything like that. That just reflects 39% of those paid promotional subscribers are in turn they're achieving that penetration rate to get more and more to add more to the self-pay subscribers. ARPU, average revenue per user, that's on a monthly basis. That's how much SiriusXM is pulling in from their customers, growing over the last decade, which is great. Adjusted EBITDA and free cash flow generation, as you can see, those have just been on steroids in the past 10 years, doing a great job increasing that. Absolute growth, free cash flow growth, and per share diluted growth over the last 10 years has been plus 20%. Absolute for the last 5 years has been 6.7%, and then on a per share basis has been 12.1% growth. What you really want to pay attention to that's not also on here, though, you also want to pay attention to the penetration rate. So to give you some perspective, as of Q3 2018, there are 113 million U.S. vehicles that have SiriusXM radios installed in them. That's about 43% of all U.S. vehicles, new and used. The goal for SiriusXM is for that 43% to go up to what the new car penetration rate is, which is 80% over time. That is their goal. So imagine having an 80% penetration, that is 80% of all cars having SiriusXM radios installed in them. That increases the pool drastically for SiriusXM to attain more and more self-pay subscribers. Some other attributes of SiriusXM: contracted revenue streams and cost structure. These are what Liberty companies typically resemble. They have high fixed, low variable cost structures, which in turn lead to widening margins. You in turn then see free cash flow to adjusted EBITDA conversion of anywhere from 74 to 80%. So as each user is added to SiriusXM's subscriber base, then those high fixed costs, you're able to spread those out across more and more users. And those variable costs being low as a result of, that is, as more revenue comes in, then more and more dollars fall to the bottom line as more users are added to the platform. That's a spectacular business. To give you something to relate on that, they have high cash returns on incremental invested capital. So, pursuant to my point about the widening margins, over the last 10 years, SiriusXM has invested 16%, has reinvested 16% of their free cash flow back into the business. As a result of that 16%, investment, they have achieved 125% growth in their free cash flow over the same time period. That's exceptional. It is incredible. In the last 5 years, they've done slightly lower, 80%, but still huge incremental returns on that invested capital. They're able to, because they have such high free cash flow generation, they're able to lever up and manage their debt and apply it in ways such as in this particular example, by returning capital to shareholders via share repurchases and dividends. So some risks pertinent to SiriusXM consist of, as a general market, you have what happens if new cars and the number of used cars sold decreases, then that will decreases the pool that SiriusXM can potentially add new subscribers from. General competition consists of AM, FM, internet radio, in-dash infotainment such as Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, direct broadcast satellite and cable audio that consists of cable companies like Charter offering music as a part of their television cable service, but that's constrained within fixed locations, i.e. the home. Other digital media, there's always something new happening coming down the pipeline. That's just evolution at work. Traffic services could be affixed or integrated within the dashboard, Google Maps, Waze, connected vehicle services. I mentioned General Motors OnStar. Verizon has Verizon Telematics. Other OEMs have other offerings. I believe Mercedes-Benz, BMW have such offerings that they give to their car owners. SiriusXM specific, the CRB, the Copyright Royalty Board, in December of 17 announced that they were increasing their royalties from 11% to 15.5%. And there would be no gradual increase as it had been in the last 8-9 years. And this is 15.5% of gross revenues. So immediately on January 1, 2018, you saw an increase that SiriusXM was unable to immediately pass to their subscribers. They are only now going to be initiating that increase starting in the beginning of this year, and they're going to increase their revenues and they're going to charge their customers that increased royalty rate. That could be a potential thorn in their side for a few years as that goes through the courts. It will most, let's just say for conservative purposes, that it does stay the same with regards to our valuation. Just to be on the safe side, it will then increase after December 31st, 2022. It'll increase according to how much the CPI increases on a per year basis. Revenue share, that references what SiriusXM shares with the OEMs as a part of their deals that they make. So if some OEM like General Motors or Toyota doesn't like SiriusXM's terms in future contracts, they could always cancel them. The likelihood of that is fairly low, I think, because SiriusXM has such a good position in the market today. If it were to occur, that would, of course, mean that the penetration percentage would decrease and would be potentially hurtful to the company's earnings. Next up, we have iHeartMedia. So iHeartMedia, Liberty Sirius owns $660 million principal of debt, which would work out to approximately 4-5% post-bankruptcy. The business segment that Liberty Sirius is interested in is the iHeartMedia portion, not the billboard piece, that Clear Channel Outdoors. They would probably try to spin that out if a deal were to go through. Back in earlier this year, Liberty Sirius, in conjunction with SiriusXM, did try and make a deal for all 40% of iHeartMedia approximately, and it was rejected by creditors. They want iHeart because there are a number of synergies to be had. There's advantages to both Sirius as well as Pandora. iHeart has a 90% domestic reach, the largest U.S. radio network. iHeart's sales force is quite large. You pair that with Pandora's or SiriusXM's sales force, you would get a very potent force for all of their ad business. iHeart and Pandora, you would have alternatives to having to pay for SiriusXM's subscription service. It would put FM radio potentially into SiriusXM's 360L offering within the car dashboard that people see today in new cars. But there's a number of possibilities to be had with iHeart in the mix. As of right now, negotiations seem to have stalled, but with Malone and Maffei, you never truly know. So for the Pandora transaction, 1.44 shares of SiriusXM was offered for every one Pandora share. And at the date of the announcement of this deal on September 23rd, 2018, it was made to equal $10 per Pandora share based on SiriusXM's price that day. That price has since fallen to the equivalent of $8.09 per Pandora share. To give you back in March of 16, Pandora and Sirius have been dancing back and forth for the past couple of years. In March of 16, Sirius offered $15 a share. And then in May of 17, they were offering $11 a share. So you can see how well Pandora has fared in those negotiations to SiriusXM's benefit. Some of those effects on Sirius's business model after the Pandora merger: Pandora gets scale from the merger and can cross-sell with SiriusXM. Same for vice versa with SiriusXM. SiriusXM can offer an alternative to their paid product and increase their conversion rate on a product basis. They can offer either on-demand, that is Pandora, or satellite radio, or a combination thereof. Right now, Pandora does have negative free cash flow. They have but SiriusXM is renowned for their management capabilities. They are running SiriusXM for EBITDA and free cash flow generation. One can safely assume, I think, that they will apply the same thinking to Pandora. Pandora also does have, as a result of the negative free cash flow over the last 5 or 6 years, they do have approximately $1 billion plus in net operating losses that Sirius can utilize in the future. How that's going to work out, though, due to the new tax law, I'm not a CPA, I can't say for sure, but I think it would be material to the valuation of Pandora when they were in the negotiations. There is no transaction collar, so there's no cap on the upside or downside. I would warrant that, unfortunately, that's negative for Pandora shareholders, but it has been good for SiriusXM shareholders as well as Liberty SiriusXM. The argument was made about why stock, not debt. Management from both sides said that they wanted Pandora shareholders to enjoy the upside in the long run, and I would warrant that they are correct in that regard. So what is Pandora? Pandora is a music discovery platform that offers personalized stations and playlists and the ability to do on-demand songs and albums depending on the tier that you have signed up for. I hesitate to use this, but I would liken Pandora to Netflix in the audio game because they are able to offer on-demand listings based on what the user would like to listen to. I think that they have a good niche in there. Their business model, though, doesn't exactly follow Netflix because they don't have the ability to create original content. They're dependent on what artists create and then they then offer to their users. So there is some of that. However, SiriusXM does have that original content, and that's where that real potential exists, that they can pair Sirius and Pandora's offerings and really come up with a very robust offering to their users. The biggest piece of Pandora's business, though, is ads. And that's where they deliver a lot of value to local and national advertisers because of the data points that they collect from their listeners. So the offerings that Pandora offers to their users are ad-supported, which is the free option, radio subscription, which is that mid-tier option, and then the on-demand subscription, which is that highest tier, where the user can look for specific songs or albums and listen to them whenever they want. The strengths of Pandora exist in the music discovery and radio station platform. That famous Music Genome Project algorithm helps listeners curate playlists and radio stations to their liking. So some of the competition, though, has done quite well. For example, Spotify has really come along in the past few years to offer a nicer interface than Pandora, and perhaps even a better algorithm. Apple Music doesn't have a free option. You have to pay for access to the catalog. Amazon Prime Music comes with an Amazon Prime membership. All of these, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Prime Music, are dependent upon the deals that they work out with the respective artists or music catalog owners, the publishers, what have you. They are dependent on how wide and deep their catalog offering is, dependent on those deals. So if Pandora is in the same game, they have to create a robust offering that offers differentiated content or a very deep content. And that's what a number of these providers are currently doing today. They're trying to attain that deep catalog to offer to their users. An additional piece of Pandora, small today, but could be potentially large, is their AdsWiz unit, which was actually acquired in 2018. And it is a digital audio advertising platform that is used not only by Pandora, but also by their competitors, Spotify and Apple Music and Amazon Prime Music. These are, it's an advertising platform that is able to, for the, it allows like Spotify, companies like Spotify, to mainstream their advertising deals with their advertisers, and to then streamline the delivery of those ads to the end user. So this is where we get to the good stuff. This is the evaluation overview of Liberty Sirius XM. So there are a couple of ways to value Liberty Sirius. The first of which is a NAV calculation, that is net asset value. So right now, as you can see, Liberty Sirius is trading at approximately 32% discount to its underlying holding. And you can see the math here. So there are a number of ways to eliminate that discount. And that's principally Sirius and Liberty Sirius combining in some fashion. So Liberty Sirius could issue shares. That's highly unlikely while such a large discount to SiriusXM exists. Liberty Sirius, the tracker, could do a hard spin out from Liberty Media, but that's unlikely to occur until there's probably a 5% discount or greater, that is a premium versus SiriusXM, that would occur. And we're nowhere close to that today. Or Liberty Sirius could wait. They could continue to repurchase Liberty Sirius shares with the discount being so large. They could wait while SiriusXM continues to repurchase their own shares and for Liberty Sirius's ownership to hit that 80% mark, where Liberty Sirius would then have unrestricted access to SiriusXM free cash flow altogether. But in my opinion, this is a good way of, it's a decent way of valuing it, but I think it's more important to do so through a look-through method of a market capitalization divided by free cash flow. That is where where you can truly see how cheap Liberty Sirius is versus its underlying holdings. And I've then further split that into two different methods, which I'll go into an explanation now. So what you see here is what I've termed method one, method two. So method one consists of both of these methods consist of SiriusXM and Pandora having merged. And the first method is a very simplistic way of I just simply combined Sirius's and Pandora's financials, and I assigned a simplistic growth rate to the combined free cash flows based upon SiriusXM's past performance, and then based on Pandora's estimates that they placed within their 424B3 filing December 20th under, find it on December 20th under SiriusXM's SEC filings. I then paired those two together, and I then used a continuation of SiriusXM's past free cash flow growth rates, both on an absolute and per share basis. And that's what you see there in that method number one column. You see 12.1% on an absolute and then 14.4% growth on a per share basis, resulting in a current margin of safety of 27%. This is all, keep in mind, via Liberty Sirius look-through basis. That's a very simplistic way of looking at things. It's not really, it's just taking that simple growth rate and then assuming that that's going to occur in the future. I think that method number two is more pertinent to the discussion, and I then have broken those down into the base, conservative, and optimistic scenarios. So the base valuation is, I think, reasonable. It would result with a 70% return in 5 years, 11.2% IRR. Those are based upon the past performance of SiriusXM as well as Pandora's financials. The growth rates for revenues as well as cost of services have been kept relatively static throughout my estimates. I think that it's a reasonable valuation. The conservative valuation, I really went super conservative. I assumed that revenues would not grow barely, maybe 3.9% combined. And then I estimated that their costs would go up at an unreasonable rate. For example, I guesstimated that the revenue share would continue to increase what is currently at approximately 18% of revenues. I forecasted that the royalties percentage would increase after 2022 to an unreasonable rate of 5% growth thereafter. Then other costs throughout. It was very, very conservative. And I think that even after that, all being said and done, as negative 7.7% free cash flow, yes, there's no margin of safety, but I think that it was excessively conservative. The same might be said for my optimistic valuation. I went and increased revenues overall by approximately 9.4%, but really not doing much to SiriusXM's bread and butter, their subscriptions. I was looking more at the past for Pandora and the other revenue piece of both of their businesses. And I think that it really wasn't too excessively optimistic. I think that when all is said and done, I think that the sweet spot, the sweet valuation is probably somewhere in between the base and optimistic scenarios as where I think that it would is a reasonable valuation for Liberty Sirius. I think that when you wrap all that up, I would argue that Liberty Sirius is a great buy at today's prices. I think that it would warrant a full position in your portfolios. I think that there are numerous ways for Liberty Sirius to add value to their shareholders, including either a spin out, SiriusXM's share repurchases, Liberty Sirius's own repurchases of their own shares, while the Pandora integration occurs. There could be something that I'm not factoring in with regards to Pandora. There's a lot of material upside that does exist for the combination of SiriusXM and Pandora put together. There might also be some optionality with regards to iHeartMedia being in the mix. So when you put all this together with Liberty Sirius, you have SiriusXM owns their own proprietary satellite network that delivers unique content. You have Pandora owning a proprietary algorithm, of course, assuming the merger goes through. Cost structure, that high fixed cost, low variable cost, leading to widening margins, therefore in turn leads to high free cash flow generation, multiple opportunities to grow revenues. And you have an excellent management that have turned out to be extremely fantastic capital allocators, heavily experienced in these types of businesses. And that's it. Here are the disclosures. Please read through those at your leisure about all these wonderful metrics I use. And thank you.
Well, Nathaniel, thank you very much for articulating your thesis so clearly. Maybe you could talk a little bit about how you think about the time frame for an investment like this, and more generally, whenever you look for investments, what is the kind of time frame you are thinking about?
An excellent question, John. For my valuations here, for my forecast that I did for this presentation, I did a five-year time frame. But in all honesty, when it comes to our investments here with our clients, I strive to go at least 10 years. So I could easily have used 10-year discounted cash flows calculations for those valuations and come up with much higher multiples as a result. But I felt that even with the five-year discounted cash flow, I think that I showed that it is trading at a very decent margin of safety with a lot of material upside. So in answer to your question, 5 years for this presentation, but when it comes to our clients' investments, I'm always trying to go 10 years plus.
If somebody wanted to track this idea over time and gauge how it is playing as compared to your investment thesis, what would you say would be the key data points to keep an eye on, other than perhaps the obvious one, which is subscribers?
Well, you're right. Subscribers is the biggest one. I think, though, that some other key points to pay attention to, when I alluded to in the, let me bring it up here, the risks category, is that revenue share and royalties percentage, that category there is the one to watch to make sure that that doesn't grow too much as a percentage of revenues. You also want to pay attention to the net additions. So the net additions is that it adds to the self-pay subscribers, so to that subscriber's point. But you also want to make sure that the ARPU is steadily increasing, if not staying the same, because what that means is that fixed cost, that pricing power, is slowly expanding with time, and that's the key for a pricing power model such as this. Also, the self-pay, the monthly churn, you also want to keep an eye on that. And then probably the biggest one, actually, now that I think about it, is that conversion rate. Even though it's been decreasing the last 10 years or so, seeing that over time and then comparing it to the number of cars sold, both new and used, every year, those will be key metrics to pay attention to in the future.
And perhaps lastly on Spotify, if you could just elaborate a little bit on how you see the competitive positioning there.
So I'll be honest, I'm not a user of either Spotify or Pandora, so I can't speak necessarily firsthand, but from what I've learned speaking to other people in my research, Spotify appears to be ahead of the game because of what appears to be Pandora's missteps in the last couple of years, where Pandora's management at the time put a lot of emphasis on their subscription-based services, and as a result, they neglected the advertising piece, and that their catalog then suffered as a result in some fashion, which I'm not quite clear on. But that catalog offering to their users was not as strong as what Spotify brought to the table in the past couple of years. And then I also understand that Spotify's discovery platform has started to get up there along with Pandora's, where people wake up every morning or wake up every week and they get like a Monday, they get a Discovery Monday playlist where they can listen to new songs for free. And Pandora doesn't, that kind of customer, interaction with their customers is not as good as Spotify's has been in the past couple of years.
Terrific. Nathaniel, I'll leave it there. I would just encourage our viewers to feel free to follow up with you with their own thoughts and questions. Once again, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us and to share your research with our community.
Thank you very much for having me, John. I appreciate it.
Goodbye for now.